Edwards, the coffee with the extra flavor lift, brings you Night Editor. Night Editor, with Hal Burdick telling another of his famous yarns from the newsroom. Tonight, a gripping human interest story titled Big Day Tomorrow.
The angry wind was like a whiplash on the car as it sped through the storm. The rain poured over the windshield in a blurring flood. The jerk of the rutted roadway almost tore the steering wheel from his numb fingers. But old Doc Carlton held stubbornly to his course.
Well, it's that hour when Hal and Bobby usually go out for a mid-evening snack and a few minutes of relaxation from the newsroom confusion of telephones, clattering typewriters, and the grind of putting the next edition together. Back in the far booth in the little lunchroom around the corner.
Oh, boy, does that coffee hit the spot.
Yeah, that's good coffee. That's Edwards. You can trust Charlie to make a good cup of coffee. He knows.
Do I need it? Boy, this has been one humdinger of a night, Hal.
Yeah, we did seem to have a lot of news to handle, Bobby. A little bit tired myself.
And from the look of that assignment sheet, a big day tomorrow, brother. Oh, boy.
Big day tomorrow. I don't know why, but your saying that brings old Doc Carlton to my mind.
Doc Carlton? Who might he be, Hal?
Well, 5 years ago, he was a retired physician living quietly in the town of Dalesburg in the northern part of the state, taking pride in the way his son Matthew was carrying on the practice. Next thing he knew, the boy was on his way to war as a medical officer. Old Doc was back at his profession harder than ever in spite of his 72 years. Another of those unsung heroes of the home front.
You know, I'll bet there's a story back of that look in your eyes, boss.
Well, yes, Bobby, I guess there is. The story of a real hero, though Doc didn't feel so heroic that night last winter when he stood in the kitchen letting the glistening raincoat and the sodden old felt hat fall onto the chair. It was 7 o'clock. And he'd been at it since long before dawn. No different than other days, of course, but tonight he seemed to feel it more. Tonight he was just a weary, bone-tired old man who wondered how much more of it he could take. He looked down at a scrawled piece of paper on the table, a note from Cassie, who'd been his housekeeper through long years. Her lodge was having a party. She couldn't wait for him. He'd find a big pot of leek and potato soup on the stove. Coffee was ready to heat. Custard pie and cheese in the cupboard. But right now, he didn't care whether he ate or not. He'd stir up the living room fire, stretch out in his favorite chair, and rest a while. Eat later if he wanted to. The warmth of the fire seemed to ease the ache in his body a little. The quiet of the old house was soothing. Through half-closed lids, he looked up at the photo of the young man in uniform on the mantel, smiling gently as he met the steady gaze from the pictured eyes. Ah, someday... Someday Matt would be coming home. Matt would take over again, and he could enjoy an old man's heritage of peace and quiet and freedom from body-shattering work. The strident jangle of the phone bell broke his reverie. He half rose, sank back in the big chair again. Oh, hang the phone. Let it ring. A man could only drive himself so far. His eyes met those in the picture, and they seemed to be speaking to him in Matt's voice. There's the phone, Dad. Somebody's calling you.
Oh, blast the phone. I'm tired.
You once told me a good doctor didn't have time to be tired.
But this is different, Matt. I'm not as young as I used to be. I need some rest.
And some patient needs a doctor. No telling how badly.
All right, you young scallywag. I'll answer it. But I'm not leaving this house tonight. I don't care what it is.
An excited voice speaking broken English came to him over the wire. Mrs. Vorslev, newcomers, lived on a farm 5 miles east of town. Her boy was sick. She was frightened. Doc leaned his head on one hand wearily, listening, asking questions. Finally, he spoke gruffly.
Now look, Mrs. Vorslev, I can't come out there in this storm. Anyway, I'm all in myself. You get a pencil and a piece of paper and take down the instructions I'll give you. The first thing tomorrow, I'll get out there. Just you follow orders tonight.
Back in the chair, he kept his eyes on the cheerful glow of the fire, while outside the rain beat with torrential fury against the house. At last, as if drawn by a magnet, his gaze returned to the photo on the mantel. And once again, he seemed to hear the voice. That could be an appendix, you know.
And it could be an old-fashioned stomachache.
But you don't believe that, do you, Dad?
I don't care what it is. I'm fagged out, I tell you. You don't understand, Matt, my boy.
Sure, I understand, Dad. But I understand, too, there's a sick boy and a mother who's scared. They need a doctor, and...
And what about all the other folks that need a doctor? There's only so much of me left to do the work, boy. I don't mean to let you down, Matt, but... Well, I'm old, and I'm just about done for. I hurt all over.
Sometimes we hurt all over out where I am, but we have to keep going. You're a soldier, too.
And haven't I got a greater duty than killing myself?
Maybe, Dad, and maybe not. The voice seemed to trail away. Then, through the silence, another sound, the hollow beating of the knocker on the front door. Well, if this was a patient, at least they'd come to him. More likely, a neighbor. The light from the open door revealed the dripping figure of a boy.
Telegram for you, Dr. Carlton. Telegram.
Doc felt a little chill run over him.
I thought they phoned telegrams these days.
Well, not this kind of a telegram, sir.
You see... Sure, sure.
A sickening dizziness was coming over him. He had to steady himself against the door.
Here.
He fished in his pocket for a coin, but the boy was backing away. Oh, gee, no, doctor. I couldn't take a tip for delivering a telegram like that. Thanks just the same. Good night, sir. Somehow, he got himself back to the living room again. He stood there by the mantel, numb fingers tearing open the envelope, taking out the message. He knew what it would say. As next of kin, regret to inform you. The message fluttered to the floor as the trembling hands groped for the photograph.
Oh, Matt. Oh, no. No, Matt. Matt, my boy.
Again, the metallic clangor of the telephone. Mechanically, he stumbled across the room to answer it. The voice that came to him was frantic with fear now. The boy was worse, the mother helpless.
But how could he tell this woman that he couldn't come now? That it wasn't age or weariness anymore? That his boy, his Matt...
Then once again, that voice seemed to come to him. It's your duty as a soldier, Dad. Your place is there as mine was where the call took me. Someday we'll meet again. And you'll want to tell me that you went where you were needed, too.
Why? Well, sure. Sure, Matt. Someday we'll meet again. Old Doc Carlton and his boy. And I promise you, wherever that meeting place is, you won't be ashamed of me.
He lifted his head.
All right, Miss Vorslev.
The voice took on new strength.
I'll be out there to see your boy.
The angry wind was like a whiplash on the car as it sped through the storm. The rain poured over the windshield in a blurring flood. Time and again, the jerk of the rutted roadway almost tore the steering wheel from the grip of his numb fingers, but the old man bent over it, held stubbornly to his course. Then he was pulling to a stop. Through the downpour, he could see the glimmer of light from the farmhouse on the distant slope. And in the lights of the car, something else. The rickety wooden bridge over Sandy Creek, torn from its moorings by a bankfull flood, leaning into it at a steep angle. Well, that did it. That was his answer. He could turn around now and go back home with a clear conscience. He reached for the gear shift, but the hand hung there. In the mirrored surface of the windshield, he saw the eyes again. Not smiling eyes now. Eyes in which there was the hurt of disappointment, accusing eyes. His hand moved as if to shut them out. It touched a worn bag on the seat beside him. And then Doc was getting out of the car, the bag held high in one hand while the other gripped the swaying bridge timbers as the numbing chill of the icy water swirled around him, and old Doc Carlton was fighting grimly through the waist-deep flood to the far bank. It was after midnight when he crossed the backyard to the kitchen door again. At first he wasn't sure he could make it from the garage. All sense of feeling had gone out of his legs. The will to move was something apart from his body. The warmth of the room revived him a little. He saw Cassie swimming toward him through the blur that fogged his eyes.
What, doctor? Where on earth have you been?
Oh, out on a call.
But land of Goshen, you're soaking wet. What happened?
I... out to the Vorslev place. Boy, appendix. Bridge was out. Couldn't get him back to town. I did an emergency. Kitchen table. Had to wade the creek. Going and coming.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that. You might have caught pneumonia.
Well, I'll get upstairs. Out of these wet clothes. Hot bath into bed.
Yes, that's the thing to do. And I'll bring you some hot soup. You didn't have any dinner.
No, no soup. I just want to get to bed. Rest. I'm tired, Cassie. Tired and old and done for.
Her arm was under him and his weight sagged against it as they went on into the living room. The telegraph blank came into his vision and his steps faltered.
Oh, Cassie, there was a telegram tonight about Matt. He...
I know, Doctor. I found it on the floor when it came in. I read it. I hope you don't mind. Isn't it wonderful?
Wonderful.
His eyes blazed toward her.
Wonderful, what are you saying?
It's a telegram about Dr. Matthew.
What?
Well, Doctor, didn't you read it?
No, I was going to, but I couldn't force myself to do it. And then the call came. Cassie, tell me.
Well, he's been wounded, but he's all right. And he's been awarded a Distinguished Service Cross for going way out beyond the lines to save lives. For gallantry, it says, beyond the call of duty, like you did tonight. The room was whirling around him dizzily, but through the dimness he could see the eyes in the photograph. Smiling eyes now. Proud eyes. And then suddenly old Doc Carlton was laughing.
Oh, Cassie! Matt, he's all right, and he'll be coming home to me, and I won't have to be ashamed.
Of course you won't have to be ashamed. And you must come now. I'll help you upstairs, and then...
Help me!
He straightened, pushing her arm aside.
Since when did I need help to get upstairs? You talk like I was a tired old man. All I want to do is get out of these wet clothes and have some of that soup and custard pie and cheese. I need food, Cassie. I've got a big day ahead of me tomorrow.
Well, friends, you too have big days ahead. Days when a little extra enjoyment will be mighty welcome. For instance, the extra enjoyment you will find in every cup of Edwards coffee. Why? Well, because Edwards brings you an extra flavor lift. You see, Edwards is prepared from the richest coffee beans from the finest growing districts of Central and South America. The choicest beans carefully pre-selected for size, shape, and color, then skillfully blended according to Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula, not by weight, but by flavor. Next, every pound is roasted under Mr. Edwards' personal supervision by the modern, controlled thermal process to bring out the full, natural flavor. Edwards' coffee, remember, is ground only to your order at the store. Your guarantee of full strength, full aroma, and absolute freshness. Try Edwards' coffee. Discover its extra flavor lift. Your money refunded if you don't thoroughly enjoy it. Edwards' coffee is featured at all Safeway stores.
Well, Hal, I think we'll all remember the story of old Doc Carlton for a good long time. Now tell us what's ahead for next week.
Steve Delger marveled at the ease with which he was able to fool everyone into handing a $60,000 estate over to him. Even wise attorney John Atwell fell for Steve's dishonesty. Then someone came to call on him. A prim, gracious, elderly little lady. And before her call was ended... that's the story, titled... On the Dotted Line, that I'll tell you when we meet in the newsroom next week. Good night.
Listen tonight, editor, next week at the same time when Hal Burdick spins another of his newsroom yarns. This is Bill Baldwin saying good night for Edwards Coffee.